You know, it's kind of ironic, but one of my favorite movie franchises are the Mission Impossible movies. And just observing, looking at Tom Cruise just doing really crazy, outlandish things that have them achieve the impossible, I find both terrifying and incredibly exciting. And that's what Joyce and I talk about today, and it's the propensity in most of us to not be Tom Cruise and not get out there on the skinny branches. And yet, it shows time and time again that taking risk and learning from your mistakes ultimately leads to not only a more fulfilling life, but one with greater success and achieving things that you never thought possible. So that's our topic today. Come on in, grab a snack. Welcome.
Hello, Bobby. Are you getting tired of Bobby? Are you getting tired?
Oh, hi, Bob. Oh, Bobby. You can hi, call Bob. Me Bobby because you're in that special category of friends.
You're the only person that says that.
Oh, there's a handful other than my family. So, yeah, good morning, everybody. This is Bobby and Joyce.
Joyce.
That doesn't work. That just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, on my block I grew up with, that's what they called. Back in the day when kids stood outside your door and called on you because it was Joyce, can you come out and play? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Go house to house. Okay.
Now if you did that, you'd be shot. That's a whole nother story. What are we talking about today, Joyce?
Oh, Bob, I woke up thinking about coffee, but I've had a subtext ring in my head for a while about risk and the need for it, and the how do you support risk and yet take paralyzing fear out of a company, and what is a leader's tolerance for risk. And I do remember a batch of college graduates that we were looking at to possibly hire for fast tracking. And for some reason, I turned to the top executives that were on stage answering questions, taking questions, and said, what about risk? What's the biggest thing you've done that was so stupid? And you were terrified. And the stories came, and I can't remember all of them. But they just poured. Oh my gosh. One was always about the muddy parking lot of a brand new store, and they put plywood down with nails, and then the cars drove over and the nails popped up and everybody was coming in saying, I just got a flat tire. But they took the risk to do that because they wanted to honor the opening day date. And the need for people taking a chance, like we talked about last week, you and Rick going to the Southeast to start a new venture, kind of Lewis and Clarkish.
Yeah.
As a woman, when I look back and I'll kind of laugh and go, I don't know, I was just lucky. But on the other hand, before I moved to Maine from Illinois, I wrote to a career group that was in Maine and said, I only have $200 to spend, and it was true. Who would be the most important people for me to send a letter to? And they wrote back and gave me a list of phone numbers. And I called a couple of places, but I sent out my resume to those things. And within 3 days, I got a call to come write a grant.
Wow.
Or child abuse and neglect workers, because that's what I was doing in Illinois. And it got some acclaim from the governor. Can't think who it was. Michael Petit, maybe. Maybe he just, I don't know. But then that took me to working at CMP, which is the electric utility. And that took me to a women in management meeting where I sat next to a woman. I didn't know who she was, but the speaker said something, and I raised my hand that in opposition. And he said, come on up, let's let you give the lecture. And so I did, nicely with him. I mean, it was a nice moment. But the woman sitting next to me was Kathy Greenleaf, which, and she was president of human resources at Hanford. And that's when I got my letter of rejection for an OD role. First, she wrote me. So I'm saying there were a lot of coincidences that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't stretched a little. Jumping in to interrupt a speaker, or driving from Illinois to Maine with no job and five kids to live. And I think of other moments of design and ideas that I had that put me on the line.
Well, you know, it's funny. So
I don't know where I'm going with this, except risk
well,
is, and you have to have it.
So that's a good way to end today's conversation. But before we do that, I have, this is a tough topic for me because I am naturally risk adverse. You know, I have been thrust into circumstance that forced me to get out of my safety zone and take a chance. But if I look at the arc of my life and things that I've done, I definitely am more on the cautious side. And then once I got into corporate, you know, you just didn't want to screw up. So not that I played it safe, but if I'm really honest and put myself on that continuum of play it safe, jump in and take a risk, I was more towards the play it safe. And yet every story that you told had a positive outcome, even if it seemed pure chance. But when you put yourself out there, yeah, you're going to stumble sometimes. And to me, here's the crux of today's conversation. You know, it's one thing to be in crisis and be pushed into taking a risk to save mm-hmm. yourself or to save mm-hmm. others. How do you create a culture, or as a leader, a mentality of that risk is a natural and encouraged part of leading and growing and being successful? I've never gotten that.
Whenever I hear about that, I think it's bullshit.
Tell me more.
I don't know.
I think I agree with you.
You do want to take, I'll tell you what creates fear is unfair reactions to action or politics, talking behind people's back. Almost every pioneer in modern leadership wants to get goony fear out of the organization. Now we're so afraid of the outside world, we're kind of hiding in our organization. And it's a little bit safe because they're so desperately needed, but that's not good for a company. So how do you encourage risk? First of all, you hire lively people that see possibilities and know how to sell them. But I knew that there was a shakeup going on at the very top of the company. And somebody gave me wind of that, of where I was going to be positioned organizationally, where I really thought I couldn't be best used.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one of the riskiest things I ever did. I got a ticket to go to Brussels, where headquarters were, and I did a flip chart, not my computer. I did a formal flip chart argument for my sitting at the top table, whether as an officer or an observer, but that I can't take the risks I took unless I have an accurate temperature of possibility or what's going on. We were talking about my having a marketing eye about goods, and it's the same thing in an organization. If I couldn't get, I don't know how outside consultants do it. If I couldn't get close to the heartbeat of whatever work it was, I couldn't come up with risky ideas or not. But anyhow, that's one of the larger risks.
Yeah. So if I think about what you just shared, there was something either about you or about the circumstance that you took the leap. If I look at myself, and as I said, I'm more risk averse than not, the two things that would enable me to take risk, and there were two that really come to mind. The first was the organization, the leader, the CEO, they put me in a position that says, you know what, we're putting you out there, there's risk in this venture, but at the end of the day, you're going to be safe. Like, and not, you know, not a guarantee of safety, you'll have a job, but it's like, we're putting you out there on the skinny branches. And so don't be afraid to jump in, because you're going to have to take risks. You're not going to have a playbook. And that really freed me up. If I think about going to the Southeast, you mentioned that, you know, there was a lot at stake, but I got the sense was you're the right person for it. And you know what? This isn't going to be a guaranteed 100% knock it out of the park. We just have confidence that we can make it. So number one, taking the fear and the sting out was really important. The second for me, and I don't know where to go with this, is if I saw the upside of taking the risk, and I saw that upside and was able to see it and feel it and I won it, it helped pull me through. And the only example I can think of right now is my skiing and learning to ski. I was so afraid of heights. I was so afraid of having two sticks attached to my legs that I felt I couldn't even go down the most distinguishable slope, like not even like, you know, but I wanted to be able to do what my brother did and to do something that my kids could do. You know, so I wanted to be able to ski down a hill so bad. I was willing to take the risk of limb and shame to get through it. So, you know, those are, you know, and I don't know where people are in the continuum. Are most people risk averse? I think so.
Yeah, I
so
think
how
so.
Do you?
Once again, organizationally, if there's a basic sense of fairness, and we happen to know and happen have to worked in large companies that did have that. Didn't mean
yes.
that stuff didn't happen. Doesn't mean that politics played a part. There was an from policy to behavior to statements. There was, you know, I am talking. You know, the first thing I did was lead a downsizing. But if downsizing isn't done right, it can certainly embed the enemy to risk.
Absolutely.
And it makes me sick to say that, period. So I can see why now there's, well, so we're talking about fear. There's more timidity now because who cares?
Yeah.
Or
that's
not
right.
Timidity, passivity.
Yeah.
The flip side of that, because what drove me really was an idea I felt was right for the moment. That pushed me past
Yeah, so you're describing the second condition, and that is you saw a possibility on the other side that really pushed you through it.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got I won't put a time limit on us, but
no, go ahead.
You know, so I'd be curious, so what would be the takeaway?
I have no idea.
If organizations are by their nature more risk averse than not, and that's not true of every organization, if people in general are more risk averse than not, and yet we see the upside of taking risks and stepping out, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention something about a speaker that I saw last year. His name's Scott Carvette. And if you don't know his name, he was a Blue Angel pilot. And he talks about what he learned about himself and about leadership, that he was able to get to the top 1/10% of people that were out there, even so much so that he was Tom Cruise's instructor in the Top Gun movies. And he said three things. Where am I going with this, Joyce? He said, there are three things that were my guiding star. And the first is to say yes. So that kind of sits there by itself. It's like when thrown out and asked to take a leap, he's saying, say yes. Second was learn from your mistakes, which to me, if you really dig down in that, it implies you're going to make a lot of mistakes. There will be mistakes along the way, even if you're a Blue Angel pilot. And then the third is to just ask. And that's less about the risk averse, but there's still some risk when you want to ask for help,
right.
Just ask. There's some risk in that. So if I think about the lessons from Scott Carvette, Blue Angel flyer, it's all about the ability to reach the highest level of any profession or endeavor by literally saying yes, learn from your mistakes, therefore make mistakes, and just ask.
It's too good an ending for me to say more. We can come back to this.
Well, I'd like to, because I think what Scott, and he may characterize this differently, Joyce, that's more of an inside out. It's like what I'm doing as a human being about what's my guiding star, my North Star. And looking back, he said, these were the three lessons. I think we have another conversation about, so what's the outside in? What are the conditions? You and I talked about a couple that an organization can do that literally encourages people to step out on those skinny branches.
I every word I say will open up another topic. So I'm going to be quiet and we're going to come back to this.
No.
Already, you know, I'm thinking about the excitement of saying yes, not just the downside.
Oh, yeah. So stay tuned. We got more on this. Before we signed off today, I wanted to at least share a little bit more information on Scott Carvette, the Blue Angel pilot and stunt pilot in the Top Gun and Mission Impossible movies. He's an amazing guy, and I would encourage you to Google his name, Scott Carvette. I'll spell it K-A-R-T-V-E-D-T. I saw him speak at a fundraiser honoring our first responders, and he is without a doubt one of the best speakers I've seen over my lifetime. So check him out, and please, I hope you'll leave as inspired as I was after listening to him speak. So until next time, be well and be safe.